All right, everybody. This is a new episode of Buzzkill. My name's Hunter Willis, and we've got Jay Leesk here. It's really good for us to be on the line here. Glad that you joined us today. Jay, say hi.
Hi.
All right, great. Glad we got that out of the way. So today we're talking about the feedback loop. Now, the feedback loop is an integral part of everything that we've talked about to this point. Why? Because it has to be part of any kind of implementation, adoption, any kind of a migration, or anything that you're doing.
Jay has something he wants to say. Well, we hadn't actually talked about it this way, but it's something that I've talked about. I've done migration readiness workshops for Office 365 for the last, I don't know, 3 years or so. And in that time, one of the things that I talk to IT the most about is the fact that a standard IT project in the past was counted successful if it was delivered under budget, on time, and the software was out. That was truly the definition of success. And it's funny because that doesn't work anymore. And while this episode isn't about the definition of success, what you have to realize is success nowadays, especially with the large enterprise contracts that are coming out for collaboration software and the pace that these softwares are being updated at, definition of success is actually using the tools and the tools meeting the need that they were purchased for. And so it's a completely different game. And IT is not built for that. We're not built to, I mean, yes, we may have a business analyst or two, but in the past decade, the business analyst role has mostly been wiped away, especially in the federal space. So knowing that the definition of success is actual tool usage, that the feedback loop becomes incredibly important. And I'll pause. I apologize.
Yeah.
I totally cut
no,
off.
No, that's great. Now the
Hunter, why don't you do the intro and get us going, and then I'm going to take over.
No, I love it. It's great, right? No, this is part of the fun, though. So, like, and what everything you said is absolutely, it's absolutely right. It's like, you've got to have, and we talked about this before, too, in an earlier episode. We talked about how it's really important to be able to quantify how much people are actually using the solution to gauge your adoption, right? And to the point that you just made, you also need to be able to say, hey, are you being more productive, right? Are your end users getting productivity out of the tools, or is it still this kind of a thing that they're being forced to use, which then leads to shadow IT, which is what we talked about in the last episode, except there are exceptions to that where, you know, users may need new software, so that shadow IT may actually become official IT, depending on the software that they're in the process of doing, right? So you don't know any of this stuff if you don't have this feedback loop, if you don't have relationships in a way, in a procedure, in a way to build those and format for, you know, getting that information from your power users, from different end users in the organization, stakeholders, and everyone in between.
So to tell this story properly, rather than it just be us being full of academics and theory, Hunter and I sat down and brainstormed on who we could bring onto the podcast to talk about this. And I think we brought two really great examples. One, a good friend of mine, which I promise I didn't do that on purpose necessarily, but Maxine Teller, who is a strategic consultant for Maximize here in the DC area. And we got to talk about the things that she helped her customers to understand so that they're willing to talk about that feedback loop. And so that I thought that was a really fun conversation.
And the other person that we brought on was Samit Sani, who's a really, really great guy. He works at London Heathrow Airport on the just like an application implementation team. And really what he's focused on is a whole lot of what we are talking about today. He started out, it's an amazing story. He started out as like working like security, you know, at the metal detectors, looking at people's bags and things like this. They announced to their staff that Heathrow announced to their staff they were getting Office 365. He looked into Power Apps and realized that there were a couple of processes they had where they could really simplify that with Power Apps. Like the specific example he gave in a previous session we had was like, they had a book that had a bunch of translations for processes that every time they needed this book, they had to walk halfway across the airport to get it because they only had a certain number of them. And so really quickly, through his own learning and research, he was able to figure out how to rebuild this book in Power Apps. And the organization was blown away by this. And after he built a few more apps, they were like, listen, you need to be helping other people do this too. And now he's got a full-time IT career doing this for Heathrow Airport, and it's essential, right? And he's going to go over, he talks about a little bit how he, you know, works with the people in his organization to understand what kind of apps they need and what kind of processes can be built and scaled within Power Apps so that their jobs can be made easier, right? And then once those are deployed, he's got methods for checking up on them and helping them kind of tweak those tools to improve their process, right?
Yeah, what I liked about Summit, and then we can, you know what? I'm going to stop there.
Yep.
Let's go to the interview.
Roll tape.
Summit, one of the things I love about your story is you were not a IT person when you began this journey working with the Power Automate platform. So you began on the front line, you saw a need, you saw a technological solution in Power Apps, and you decided to build it. Now, one of the things Hunter and I are talking about here is when you're building end user solutions, when you're building solutions for people on the front line, how do you make sure that what you've deployed is really what they need over time? So I was hoping you could kind of talk about that.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. And it's awesome to get to talk to you guys. So thank you for having me. To me, but being working as a frontline colleague for 13, 14 years as a security officer, we normally get told this is this here, have this tool, this will be beneficial. But then the user experience is not for us because no one's ever asked us how do we want this tool. You know, and so on. Because we get something like that is out of the box. Here you go, it's generic. It works for not just one place, it works for many places. But now having Power Apps and Power Automate, we can sit down with our colleagues at airport, in the airport, and say, so this is the problem, this is the problem, how can we solve it together? We can actually sit down and ask for the requirements together and build a solution. Not by just one person, by everyone. And it feels great because now we've got the ability to using Power Apps, using Power Automate to give the tools to people that really, really need it, but also being part of it. If I had an issue with a certain scenario or at Heathrow, I felt uncomfortable going to IT because I used to feel like IT people know more about the solution than I do, but I work in the front line. So now what's fantastic is that we can build our own solutions that can help us. I'll give you an example where we used to use paper process so many times. And it was so great to actually sit down with my colleague and say, we can build Power Apps now. We can use Power Automate to reduce the paper processes and build our own solutions. And it's great to, even before deploying something, get feedback. And then after deployed, or before we even deploy it, we test it and say, how do you find it? Is it good? We use Microsoft Forms to get feedback. How are you using it? And they say, yeah, could you tweak it a little bit? Oh, you know, we'd like to add this bit. Fantastic. The main thing is, and what I've seen is the user experience has got to be key. And to do that is keep having that feedback, keep asking, you know, how can we make things better? And after 6 months, once the tool has been trialed and published, we keep asking, because what joy we get is building our own solutions and that gets used, and that saves time, money, and paper, and it makes our life better when we're in the front line. So
yeah, and you were talking about how even, like, you know, and it's funny that you've got like a Power App, right, to get feedback on how people are building Power Apps. It's fantastic. Yeah. But there's also, so you were talking earlier about how, like, you actually even monitor the activity, right? When somebody goes to create something or requests a new one, that's a point in time where you can actually proactively reach out to them. And you actually mentioned, like, trying to, like, get to know them a little bit better to understand exactly what they're doing, right?
Absolutely. So we've got the Central Excellence, which is provided by Microsoft. Anybody can install it. And the Central Excellence allows you to view what Power Apps have been built, and which department, which person, what time, how many Power Automates getting built, and who by. So I feel like Professor Xavier from the X-Men, that I can see all these amazing things getting built by so many people. I get to interact with them and say, by the way, congratulations, I can see you building Power Apps. How can I help you? What was the thought process of building something? Are you trying to test it out? Is there a solution that we can help you not build? Because our aim is to empower more people to build their own solutions. And sometimes I want them to feel like they can always come to me, or here's the feedback, here's the information to learn more. And when I get to talk to them and I get to see the thought process, it's like, okay, this, you're going in the right track. This is what you need to build. This is how you can do it. And then that's it. Because we've got this, Heathrow, we've got the app lifecycle management, where we look at your app or the what you're trying to build. And then we say, okay, it needs branding. So, okay, it needs branding. It needs documentation. You need to go to your colleagues that you're building it for. So, and I never knew any of this. But until I built my first app, I got to learn about voice of the customer. And that was really key to every single thing that we build, is what do our customers or our colleagues want? And that's why I ask, when I see someone building something or using Power Automate, I'll try to plant that seed to say, what does the voice of the customer want, basically?
Yeah, and that's really cool. I just want to highlight that. It sounds to me like, especially from your previous experience and what you started with this, sounds like, that relationship building is really like a huge part of this too, because you're not coming in there as somebody trying to tell everybody what to do, right? It's about finding out what they're trying to do and come in as a helpful voice, right, from the organization and help guide them towards meeting the requirements. So, Samit, that's a really, really great strategy. We really appreciate you popping on today. Is there anything like you'd like to say to wrap up here?
Yeah, absolutely. Just one thing. So when I built my first app, like 2 years before, prior to that, I went to IT to tell them my idea to build, and they said it was too expensive. They didn't find it was feasible, and so the 2 years I didn't pursue it. When PowerUps came along, I was able to build it myself. And so I always tell people that if you have an idea, pursue it. Don't give up on it. Don't let your ideas go into the graveyard, because someone else's vision of your idea is not your vision. So you don't need best people to build it. It's yourself. So don't give up on your ideas, because you don't know what difference it can make. So
that's really great, man. That's really great. Yep. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man. I hope that we can have you back at some point, Sam. I really appreciate your time. And This was really fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Samit. That was awesome.
Thank you.
So what I really liked about that interview with Samit was he came from the end user side. He was in the field, not even what we would consider a traditional knowledge worker, someone who's sitting in front of a computer all day long, has access to SharePoint or whatever. He's in the field doing work. And with the announcement of the Power Platform for Microsoft 365 at Heathrow Airport, he saw a need, he built an app, he tested it out, and he proved a use case. And then with that experience, what he realized is the importance of reaching back to the end user and finding out, hey, that thing we built for you, how's it going? So I really, really appreciated how he looked at that.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up, we've got Maxine, and she's going to talk about.
So next up, we've got Maxine, who is going to bring in a couple of things that I'm really excited to talk about. One of which, I don't like the title gamification, but the idea of getting people excited, getting people to want to do something, to want to learn, to want to participate. And then also, she's going to tell a story about, how the organization she's working with right now had this realization as COVID hit and everyone started working from home, that all these new tools and the fact that an organization that traditionally is told you can't work from home is now all working from home. So they, not talking about IT, they sent out a guide for how to communicate, what your emails should be saying and what you should be doing during meetings. And this guide really helped people to understand better, how should we work? How should we be able to work remotely when we're not used to doing that? Let's bring in the tape.
So, Maxine, it's great to have you. My understanding is you do a little bit of commercial, a little bit of federal. When it comes to supporting either or organizations in either space, you know, what kind of conversations are you having with your customers in trying to get them to engage with their end users?
Sure. I mean, whether you're talking about end users being an internal customer, which when I'm working with the technology group within a federal agency, for example, a lot of times you're talking about internal customers, project management teams, product management teams, and things like that, or whether you're talking about the actual end user, the citizen or the customer of whatever product it is. I think the challenges that organizations find is access. These people are busy. I mean, you know, you as a regular consumer, you get something in your inbox asking you to fill out this survey about this Amazon product you bought. And then you kind of say, whatever, I don't have time for this, right? And so it's getting people's attention and getting them to understand that it actually matters a lot, that that is getting their feedback has a huge impact on the product, the service, whatever it is that you're trying to deliver. So in terms of how you get their attention, it depends, right? It depends on the type of customer in the organization. There's no silver bullet. There's no one overarching solution. But I think one thing that I talk about a lot is understanding the why.
Yeah.
It's really important for them to understand how what they're doing fits in and will have an impact on the ultimate goal. If they understand why you're asking for that feedback, they're much more likely to give it. And so getting their attention to tell them that elevator pitch of here's why this is important is crucial.
Yeah, the what's in it for me factor. It's a conversation we have all the time when we're trying to explain why we're changing a technology, why we're changing a process. If we're not answering what's in it for me, they're not going to be invested enough to learn how that change affects them. Absolutely. And do you find that your customers are more or less inclined to try and get that feedback?
You're asking if my customers are seeking that feedback from their customers?
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. I think people are very hyper aware of the importance of customer input. And customer experience and user experience and how that fits together and educating people on why those things are important and how user experience and customer experience are different and things like that. So I don't think people are unaware. Time is a big factor. So in an agile process, you've got a lot of time put into initial discovery, understanding what customers want and trying to really understand what the core challenge is so that you can develop something to address that and being very specific. A lot of time is spent on discovery, and it's probably more time than some of the executives, for example, might like to have spent. So it's this balance of managing up and getting what you need on the lower end of things.
Yeah. Over the last handful of months, what now almost 6 months, we've been having conversations about the fact that technology has drastically changed, especially in the federal space, where the federal government has been hesitant to adopt things like Zoom and Teams for remote workers. All of a sudden, they find themselves in a position of all of their employees working from home and having to enable these solutions in order for people to be able to do their daily job. And so the conversation that Hunter and I have been having a lot is, okay, you did that thing you really don't want to do, which is just roll it out and hope it works and hope everything's secure. Now we have to maybe not put up some walls and slow things down, but certainly take some time to plan. What did we do? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? That conversation is something that, you know, now that we're there, we hear a lot of, well, wait, why are we pausing? Why are we spending so much time planning? So the fact that you said that, the executives, they don't want to spend as much time planning all the time. Sometimes it's more obvious as to why, but that's a big part, absolutely, is making sure you set aside time to plan. I also really liked your tie-in to what are you trying to accomplish because then it helps you understand better what to ask to know if you've met those goals, right? So I'm curious, do you have any particular examples where you've had a good, successful feedback loop between your IT customer and their customers?
So one example that I want to give you actually has less to do with technology and more to do with communication. Executive who suddenly was managing a remote team and was gotten very poor feedback on sort of their annual performance 360.
Okay.
And the challenge was how could she improve the communication for her team? And this was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So suddenly the whole team was working remotely and the goal she was working towards was another review in June. And this was say March. And it was a matter of figuring out how she was going to improve things when all of her staff was suddenly remote. And so the feedback loop is how could she get her employees to provide feedback and how did in a way that was constructive and how could she improve things, communication, even in this remote environment? So the answer was setting some guidelines for how people needed to interact. So suddenly everybody had to have their video on for Zoom.
Yeah.
And there needed to be a very clear meeting agenda and there needed to be some guidelines for email. Emails couldn't ramble and needed to ask in the subject line, must respond or just action required or things like that. And so setting some guidelines can be very helpful and in getting people to respond. And I'm not sure exactly if I'm answering your question.
makes sense. You set these guidelines and then people are forced into a situation. So they're more liable to kind of get back at you with different things. And that's good. It's a starting point, right? And setting some expectations as a starting point is, that does sound like it would work really well as a good place to start. I'd imagine if you told a bunch of people what they would have to do immediately at the beginning of something, you probably hear a lot back from people, which is great. In one sense, if that's your objective, obviously if you're not walking into it blind, that's a really good strategy.
Okay.
So out of curiosity, when it comes to communicating to large groups of people, to trying to understand, let's say your organization has 10, 20,000 end users in a customer relationship with you, what kind of recommendations do you have for trying to figure out how to get that feedback, who to get it from, to funnel it down to something that's manageable that you can actually take insight from?
Well, one example that I like a lot is actually not a client of mine, but a company to whom I'm a customer.
Okay.
And they've set up user panels and you're incentivized as it's an insurance company and you're incentivized as a consumer. You get points, they gamify it. And so the extent to which you can gamify something, even in the workplace, it can be tremendously powerful, giving people points, and it doesn't have to be towards something big. I mean,
right.
I did this with a client. You're trying to incentivize feedback and that type of thing. And it was back when people are actually driving to work, and it was giving a good parking spot away. So it didn't cost them anything.
Right.
It was actually a federal agency. They didn't have any money. They couldn't spend on an incentive, but the Hero of the Month award, and it was a little plastic trinket that got passed around, and things like that can really incentivize people. But the consumer panel idea, I think, is helpful, and can be, it makes people feel special.
Yeah.
People feel like they're important. They're more likely to participate and want to provide their feedback.
Yeah, that consumer panel sounds a lot like the championships program that we've been talking about, the champions program, that is, where you identify, if you're doing a technology project, you identify more technologically adept users who are excited about new technology and new capabilities, or also people who are more, I don't want to say outgoing, you know, extrovert versus introvert, but people who are more willing to gather feedback for you and bring that in is another really good way to funnel both user acceptance testing, find out how is the technology before you release it to the larger group, but also, you know, funneling feedback in. When I worked at a consulting firm years ago, I was on the Champions program for our enterprise social networking tool. And, you know, I'm a talker. I would talk to people on my 100-person team and bring that feedback back to my IT group so they would understand, this is what I'm hearing. It's not a guaranteed this is the right or wrong way, but this is examples of what I'm hearing.
The other thing that's really powerful with that type of example is quotes. Actual user, what the user actually said, not kind of here was the general thing, you know, people want more blue, but rather when I see it this way, it's important to me. And the actual quote makes a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. It's I did a big survey for one of my customers a few years back. And we were talking about what types of questions to ask. And I'm a big believer in if you're going to ask questions of a large group of people, you got to make sure it's quantifiable. But you also need some anecdotal evidence. And in my in the delivery of the survey results, we were able to provide, you know, mostly graphs of the survey results, but mixed with some anecdotal quotes from the end users. So executives really got a feeling of how are people utilizing and learning and growing from the capabilities that were being offered.
And that's what people latch on to, even executives. That's what they remember. They remember the story, right? They remember you bring this one story about this one customer, and that's what people remember because it's real. It's human.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Maxine, thank you so much. This has been a great, fun conversation, and it really fits in well with some of the other pieces of this episode. So thank you so much for your time today. Hunter, any last questions?
No, just echoing. This was really, really great. A lot of good examples and, you know, really clear strategies that seem like they, you know, I mean, you've given tried and true scenarios here and they really do. I could definitely see how they would work. So really appreciate your time and your, the information and your experience, Maxine. Really, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you both. It was a pleasure. Really appreciate you having me.
You can take us out of it.
All right, great. Yep, that was really good. I really, really like this this commentary that she had too. I really love the idea of like coming up with a template and kind of just spitballing and knowing that users are going to want to have feedback come against it because, you know, it's kind of a tough way to do that. But this is, I mean, even for me personally, this is a lot of how I work. I come up with a draft, you know, just kind of throw it out there. People really appreciate having a starting point, right? And that's kind of what you're doing when you set these policies. But going into it, knowing there's going to be change and having that communication with, you know, users and stakeholders to begin with, too. It's a really, really interesting idea. It could be tough to manage. I could see how it could get pretty hairy pretty quickly, but if you're ready for it, it could be a really quick way to see what people need to have happen. So, and then of course, I like the word gamification. Jay said earlier he doesn't like that word. I like
that word.
That word.
And game theory and gamification really, it just sounds like mumbo jumbo, a bunch of kids who have become adults in age, but not maturity, really. Like, don't get me wrong. I actually I appreciate what it's doing.
Yeah,
but,
and that's the deal, right?
It's just trying to come up with a better name for it.
It's just trying to make everything fun. I think that's why it works so well, right? It's not just about the incentive. It's about breaking the monotony of the day-to-day. And like she said, it could just be like a title that you give somebody as a reward or a little sticker or something like that. Could be like coffee, pizza parties, those kinds of things too, gift cards. There's actually, for people in larger organizations, there's actually like whole software platforms where you can like subscribe to a service and the company can actually pay for rewards for people. They accumulate points and can go in there and spend the points in a store, right? And like buy bags and logo merchandise and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, there's an incentives app in Microsoft Teams as an example that Microsoft has put out there. And then I'll have to find it. I can't remember who it's by, but there's a series of gamification trainings for Teams like treasure hunts almost, trying to get people to learn how to use the tool and excited about learning it by giving them this quest almost. And I think it will help. You know, that's, it doesn't sound like it's about feedback, but it is, because if you're walking people through this process, part of what you should be walking them through is giving you feedback as to how is my training? Are you learning what you need to learn? Are you seeing a value in it? So whether we're talking about a technology rollout, or we're talking about training, or we're talking about employee engagement, that concept of feedback, or we're talking about a 360-degree employee review cycle, like getting feedback from people so that you can understand what they're feeling and they can understand why it's important to you, it's huge. So building that into your technology releases, I think it's something we've missed traditionally, and hopefully it's something we'll see more and more of in the future.
And we had this conversation before we did this recording with Maxine, and she touched on the fact, the way that she described like change management was this thread that just weaves in and out of every single thing that you've got going on all the time. And right. to touch on this and kind of draw it back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this episode, you know, these feedback loops and like user communities and this gamification and all these things that we talk about, this is not something that just goes along as a project with implementation, right? This along with change management, these are things that need to be constantly going and need to be part of all of the processes. And yep. again, woven in and out of everything that you're doing to constantly have that communication open, because there's never, you know, like Jay said, there's the idea is not to just, you know, implement, deploy, and then turn it on. And if it works, hey, you did your job. You know, organizations want to prove that there is adoption and productivity happening from as a result of the work that you're putting in. And you want that too, right? You want to be able to take this information back to the organization and say, hey, look, all these people love this. They're doing their jobs better. You know, quality's going up, productivity's going up. And the only way to really get your hands on that kind of information is to, again, maintain a constant communication feedback loop with the people that are using the software that you've implemented for your organization.
I'm envisioning at the end of like any kind of modern game app you have on your phone. My daughter has it on her typing app. At the end of every lesson or every module, you get these, you know, how many stars did you earn? Right now I'm envisioning three stars at the end of this episode, Hunter. That was really lame, but I really appreciated.
Jay's the kind of guy that still likes to go back to the old bowling alley and be like, my name's still on the machine. Pac-Man.
Right. Let's be clear. My name never got on those machines. but seriously, I think this this episode hit a little bit better than some of the conversations we had. Just the story that came from Samet and Maxine. I think for me, I feel like I took something out of it, which is, you know, it's nice. I'm not just talking at a microphone and hearing your response. I feel like I actually learned some stuff from Samet and Maxine, which was fun. And I'm going to stop talking now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You should stop talking. No, I'm just kidding. I think that this was really, really good. I mean, the examples that they gave, right? And the constant, yeah, I mean, like Samet, this is like his job. It's not just something that they do at London Heathrow. It's like what he does for a living is make sure that the users are getting everything they need out of this Power Apps deployment that they have going on, and that he's, you know, maintaining that and communicating with them constantly. They run trainings and they do all these things. So I love those, I love those examples. And I really did get a whole lot out of both of these conversations too. So I really appreciate you saying that, Jay. And I do, like, it's been so great to have these different people on and really hear about their experiences and be able to surface that out of the conversations that we have. You know, it's really been a lot of fun doing this. So, but you know what? There's other people out there that have stories. There's other people out there that may want to add some commentary to the things that we've said, or may disagree with some of the things that we've said. So, you know, definitely leave comments in the below the video here. Feel free to ask questions or reach out on social media. We're both on Twitter and LinkedIn.
And if you like what you heard and want to hear more, or you didn't like what you heard and are the kind of person who likes to hear people say things that really upset you, click the subscribe button over here on the side. and check out last week's episode where we talked about Shadow IT, or the most recent episode of This Week in Teams, another On the Spot podcast. Thank you. That's good. No, I mean, really. Hunter, I'd like to thank you for your time always. I'd like to thank my wife and daughter for tolerating the fact that it's way past bedtime and I'm sitting in my office recording. I'd like to thank all of our listeners the Academy, of course. I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yeah. Oh, I got to thank that Academy. I'll tell you what. No, thank you, Jay. Thanks for all the work that you do doing this. For all intents and purposes, Jay's the producer here. So really, really appreciate everything that he's got going on there with this. So.
With that compliment, I'm going to draw the hook, pull the recording, and hit stop. Thank you, Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.